scripture text for meditation is taken from John chapter 17. Gospel of John chapter 17, verses 14 to 21. And I shall read. John 17, verses 14 to 21. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world have hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from all evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The Lord bless the reading of his inerrant and infallible word.
I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's such a wonderful God. Now, another passage which I would like to read, because the theme of my message this morning is regard to the kind of life that we ought to live. This is the first Sunday of the new year, and I was really very burdened with what message. I have thought of a message, and that message is relating to the Lord Jesus Christ's word. It says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. A message that, which I pray that God will use his word, that when we know his word, and we will order or map our life this year and onwards in a manner in which will bring not only glory to God, but make our life more meaningful, more fulfilling, more powerful. How? Even in times of, in good times and bad times. We have just read, just sang the hymn, and they say, in weakness, or in strength, in sorrow, or in happiness, we will always give thanks. Can you and I give thanks? I wanted to do that. That was my intention. I was prayerful. And then I attended FEBC, Day of Prayer. And there was the student that we, my former fellow students before, Kimito Goto, and she gave a very impassionate message that if we know the truth, not only in the head, we must experience that truth, that each time when we read the Word of God, we must always not just read it academically, just for information, for knowledge, but we also must sense the presence of God, the Holy Spirit there, and have that Word in our hearts and have it out. Oh, it's so wonderful. You warm my heart. I say that probably that is the message that I should speak. Confirmation that today I'll speak with you about Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And the kind of life that we ought to live once and for all. We make that decision, that commitment. I got a second confirmation. And the second confirmation was on Friday prayer meeting. And there's an elder. And he prayed. He prayed that this is the new year. A new year in which we need God's word to tell us that we will give ourselves to the Lord and then continue how we ought and should live. That was the second confirmation. And I was so happy. At the same time, just a sight will tell you how God mysteriously works in your life and my life. If you are always expecting Him, if you really find that you really make the presence of God real in your life, God is real, you know. God is real. He is a person. He's real. He's our Heavenly Father. And so is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, if you have that, if that knowledge you have and experience it, God is ever willing to lead and guide you. And so the Proverb says, lean not unto your own understanding. And so today I want to impress upon you, as it's impressed, the words impress upon me, that we should always hear the word of God and follow it. Not only hear, but do. And then to destroy any kind of ideas that we have from the world that is contrary to the word of God. Demolish that and hold on to the word of God and carry it out. And the Lord Jesus Christ promised. He promised in Matthew chapter 7, if you hear His word and do His word, you'll be, your house, that means your life, is grounded or founded on the rock. And when the winds come and the storms will not destroy, and the rain will not destroy this house. How wonderful it is. Don't you want to know this? I myself, I want to know what kind of life that I will live throughout this year and from then onwards till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. A life that's wonderful. And when people see you, oh, they'll be so attracted. What is the secret of the power of your life? And there's the time, you know, God will cause them to ask you. And that's the opportunity for you to say, introduce to them who? Not about do's and don'ts, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ to that person. Now maybe I should like to paint. First of all, beginning, for the beginning, to paint a typical life of a person. I may be wrong, but I try to paint a very broad picture with big brushes. Starting from the cradle to the grave. As a young child, we grow up, we know nothing. We know how to play, but our parents always push us. What our parents want us to do is always to be the best. To be the best. And so from very small, we teach them to be them, to push them. And they go to kindergarten. I don't know whether some children, when they send their children to kindergarten, when they come back, they still have tuition for them or not. I do not know. But this seems to be the case. Because the moment they go to primary school, primary six, they come back, they got tuition. The normal Australians do not do that. And when they were invaded by more Asians, Singaporeans and Malaysians, primary six also, primary one also they start, they have already tuition classes for them. And this has invaded the Australian thinking already. But this is it. What is the purpose? To push them hard. To be better than the other person. To be better. If you are not better, you are not good, you are nowhere in this world. And so we push, parents push. And this also goes into the mind of the children. And they grow up, they go to secondary school, they do the same. Keep on pushing them. Go for tuition. Isn't it? So that they can get a better job in the world. Better salary, better everything. And in fact, they probably is a little selfish that when they grow up, they are strong, they get all these good things, they can take care of papa and mommy because they are old already. True? They only hope. Then when they are working, what do they go for? Alright, they call this, Singapore, they call the 5 C's. And they go for cash. To get cash means, in order to get cash, you must be up on top. So climb the corporation ladder. Go attend courses, this course, that course. As long as that course give more money, you go for it. Improve. In order to have more cash. After more cash, then you change from silver card to golden card to platinum card. And they like to flick this type of card. Gold. Your silver. The other fellow said, platinum. So they go for the card. And then they want condominium. Housing board, 3-room, 4-room, 5-room. They go for condominium. Even 2-room also, condominium is good because the name is condominium. Condo. Because you want to go to a condo, meaning that there is guard outside there. Check you first, in and out. In housing board, nobody cares. Housing board just only a pigeon holder in this place. Condominium, another C there you can. And after that, what do you want? So you have money, what do you want? You want a car. And very strange, in Singapore, yes, the public transport is so good, you know. And you want a car. And I look down, I see so many cars. How many? The car can take 4 people, there's only 1 person in every car. Strange. And then the traffic jam. Ooh. So anyway, a car is a symbol of prestige. So when they talk, what car you have, what car, what they want, BMW, Mercedes, from 350 to 500, they change, and so on and so forth. So you have a car. Another, I think I already said 4 C's, right? What is the other C? Country club. Nowadays, they want country club. And this is the kind of life. And actually the Lord, then in the end, let's say you amass everything, and with all your cash, everything, you go for all the pleasures in life. You go for all the material possessions that you can have. And then you go climb up and up. You have that social status that wherever you go, your name is always flashed out. The higher you go, you will come out in a newspaper here. Everybody knows you. And sometimes you are so famous that when you walk in, people say, "Oh, this is so and so. Do you know him?" The pride of life. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ actually knew about, because God made us, he knew, right from the very beginning. As for the lust of the flesh, that means the desire for pleasure, the lust of the eyes, the desires for material possessions, and then the pride of life, yes, we all want to, even the beggar also wants the pride of life. Do you know that? You ever go to a beggar and then you insult him, you see what you get? He also have that pride of life. Correct? You insult the beggar, does the beggar say, thank you for insulting me? You know that I'm no good. The beggar will scold you with all the words that he know. He curse you somehow because you insulted him. Correct? Don't talk about the people on top. The people on top have power, you're finished. Finished. So God knows the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And Satan knows also. And you know, you are all target number. We are all, you and I, are all target number one. And he will try and try and try to discourage you, to demoralize you, to cause you to fall into his trap. And they make us what? Miserable people. Christians, but miserable. Look at our eyes. Look at you all. Sung Bui faces all. Oh, how many smile. The inside you have joy, you have peace. People look at you, you have peace in your heart. In the face of sorrow, of trouble, everything, you can overcome it. Now let's say we have everything. Let me say this part. There's nothing wrong in all those things. It's nothing wrong to have a lot of things, to possess many things. There's nothing wrong at all to enjoy life in this world that God has given. There's nothing wrong to be the CEO of a company. Nothing wrong per se. We'll find later what is really wrong with that. Having done all these things, having accumulated all this, let's say, for example, you can have all. That Jesus Christ says, what shall it profit a man if he can gain the what? Gain the whole world, you know, and lose his own soul. Nothing wrong. You can gain the whole world. If that be possible, the sad part is what? When you die, when I die, we all must die. We cannot take anything with us. Nothing. Your gold teeth cannot go. Your wonderful spectacle also cannot go. All your five C's all cannot go with you. Your cash, card, condominium, car, club, all cannot go with you. How do you go? The Bible says what? Naked I come. Like a baby, naked, you know. Naked you go. Well, sometimes people don't take us. Somehow or other, how come when we die, we get all clothed up very nicely? Huh? Some even put the Bible on our bodies and all these type of things. You can't bring them. Sometimes they ask me, can we put Bible? I say, what's the point? Take the Bible and give somebody. You put the Bible there for what? And wear the best clothes and everything. No, the clothes all will be there. Naked. That's what the God's word say. Naked we go. Completely. You take nothing. What do you take is you, yourself. Your soul, your spirit, your character, your who you really are. That goes with you. And if in this world you have not done the things that are eternal, that are lasting, you really go empty-handed, completely bankrupt, naked there. And then when we see the reality, the truth of what life, why we are here, then we'll be very, very sad. And at that time, no matter how you cry to God, God, let me, Father, let me go back to Singapore again, have my body again, my new life again, another life, another chance, and I'll do everything you say. But God say, you have your chance, no more second chance. I believe many, many who have gone before us have prayed this prayer. So this is almost a typical life of a person. Crying. Well, if we die, let's say a person just go this way and get as much, earn as much as he can, work as hard as he can, or as he want, and get everything. And then when we die, and there is nothing after that. No life after that. That means when we die like a chicken. The chicken is dead. No more soul, no nothing. Finish. We die and finish. Very good. Okay, that is the kind of life we all should live. It's alright. But the truth is that that is not the truth. The truth is that there is life after death. There is eternal life. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the truth will set you free. Well, what is this truth? The truth is that you are a soul. You will live forever. God made you and me to live forever and ever and ever. God actually, in His intention, in His purpose, is to create you and me to be with Him, you know, to live with Him, to enjoy Him. In the garden, God calls, Adam, where are you? See, God has every day gone into the garden and have fellowship with Adam and Eve. Adam, so wonderful, isn't it? You and I really do not know how glorious God is. Huh? And so Adam had that. God wants us, and if Adam had not sinned, have not disobeyed Him, today we will be living with God. This will be an entirely different world. Forever and ever and ever. But Adam sinned. And so God went into plan B. And that plan B is to save some. All who would come to believe. Save them so that God has a plan. There's a beginning, there will be an end. And now we are in the middle here. And this is the time. So there will be an end, definitely. That end is a new heaven and new earth. God's first plan, He will restore it. You see, God doesn't make plan and then I just throw plan A. No, He used plan B in order to achieve His first purpose, first plan. That you and He and we all together who can live together forever and ever and ever. And happy about it. Wow. What a prospect. This is the truth. So what about death? Oh, the truth is that you'll be resurrected again. Just as Jesus Christ has said that He resurrected, you also will be resurrected. Huh? You ask. Is it true? Yes. Because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. The spirit and the body together, and He was the first one to get this glorified body. You read the scriptures very carefully. How wonderful is this glorified body? Just one thing we can say, that He can appear and disappear at will. The power that He has. A body that can pass through solid. And the Lord would say that you will have, your body will be fashioned like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This I believe. How wonderful it is. It's too wonderful to us, yes, because we are human. But to God, it is not wonderful. His power can do it. It's commonplace to God. What is that? Nothing is impossible. You know what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Why is it not possible? How did the Lord Jesus Christ say that it is not impossible for God? The camel. How big is the camel? Camel. Can go into the eye of a needle. Don't can tell me needle. Oh, there's an eye of a needle in Israel there. One big one. No. Eye of a needle. What is a needle? The sewing needle. The eye of the needle, this is one. So small. And Jesus Christ, this camel can go through. You don't tell me stories. You see. Yeah, yes, to us it's a story. But who said this? Jesus Christ said it. Because God has the power to do it. Oh, this is the truth. Understand? And then there is judgment. Judgment for Christians in the judgment seat of Christ. There's judgment for non-believers. Judgment for Christians, it is not concerning our salvation, but it is what? Christ-giving day. That is the judgment. And then all your life here will be tested by fire, so to speak, and to see whether you have done anything for God, for His glory. All the things that you do for God, all the things, the same things that you do on this earth, some will do it for God. When it is used for God, is for God's glory, for God's honor, will last. The same thing if it is for myself. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's for myself, for my family, for me, I. When it's tested by fire, it comes to zero. I give price, God says. Oh, you see, just like the parable of talents. Then you have a price. And God did not tell us exactly what price it is. Only say gold, silver, and... So God used the language, the metaphor, the figure of speech of human beings. When you run, you're first, you get gold. Second, you get silver. Third, you get bronze. Fourth, fail. Mention only. Get nothing. Same. So, you think what price will God give you? What is gold price for them? God did not say, so I don't speculate. But you know our God is a giving God. He's so generous. He gave His Son, or He sacrificed His only begotten Son just to save you and me. Just to save you and me. See how precious you are. How precious you are. our God will give you even more. He Himself said, He spared not Jesus Christ, His Son. He will not withhold anything that is good from you. You know, He will not. So you don't have to worry. My Christian friends, When you live this life for Him, you don't have to worry that God will reward you. Yeah, God will reward you adequately and more. I came, Jesus Christ says. He said He came that you might have life. Alright, the first thing is life. He's the way to the Father. He's the truth and the life, eternal life. But God doesn't, I don't think Jesus Christ only means that kind of life. I came that you might have life and have it more what? Abundantly. Is it only just about eternal life? I don't think so. And it's not only that, it is more than that. It is the kind of life that God wants you to live here so that He will be glorified. Learn this truth. Put it right into your system, into your blood, into your whole being, boy. Just go on and do it. Grasp it. Your lives will change tremendously, completely change. Turn around. Behold, you are a new creation. You are a new creation. That's the word of God here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. New. Are you experiencing that new when people see that? This is it. It is difficult at first, yes. Straight is the gate. And narrow is the way. Initially. But then towards it is leads to life. Initially it is difficult. But the other alternative is broad. Huh? Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's it. And so we as Christians, when we first start, it is difficult. Yeah, when you are a newborn babe, spiritually it is difficult. Just like a child, right? A child is born. You expect the child born straight away to be able to talk and walk and run and jump? No. And the child will grow and learn. How difficult. I can see my son before and my two daughters, all small. Very difficult. Sometimes the head is so big, you know, very hard to carry the head up straight. Difficult. Look at my granddaughters also. Very difficult to learn the first words. And sometimes pronouncement of it, not, cannot hear. Speaking in tongue. I don't have the gift of interpretation. And slowly they learn. And they learn to walk also. When you are young, slowly they learn to walk. And when the strength, the body, the legs become strong and they begin to walk. Now they walk better. And they will become better still. Another 2 years or 3 years, they can run very fast. Well, some improve faster, some slower. It's like that spiritual life you are born. So narrow is the gate, or straight is the gate and narrow is the way. But it leads to life. You start difficult. Don't give up. Don't give up. Did you ever give up to when your children fall at the same first time when they learn to walk? You never give up. You encourage. Come on, try again. Try again. That's what we should encourage ourselves and we should encourage one another. If we are spiritually, those who are spiritually matured and strong, encourage the others. So this is the way, the truth, and the life. So you know the truth. We have just said so many things. The truth that we have, the pertinent truth. In the end, ultimately, Christ is coming back, isn't it? And this is also the other most fantastic truth. Christ will be coming back. And we all know from the New Testament, there will be like two phases. It's a twofold kind of thing. The first one is the rapture. In other words, Christ will come anytime now, imminent, anytime now, to take the church to be with Him. The church. To be with Him in the air. To meet Him in the air. And after that, Christ will come. After 7 years of tribulation on earth, Christ will come bodily, visibly, and set His foot on Mount Olives, and then destroy His enemies, usher the millennium, and after that, the new heaven and the new earth, forever and ever, with you. That's the truth. And our life here on this earth, how many years? How many years do you want to live on this earth? God in the Bible tells us that you can live up to 120 years. Well, we have heard of some people live, some people, very few, 121 years. Some Japanese ladies and all that. Alright, but it is 120 years. How many of you can live? You don't live to 120 years? How do you keep your body now? You want to live to 220 years? Before 60 is already diabetes come finish. You're told diabetes also, you don't care. You eat and drink. Oh, never mind, a little bit more. Okay, never mind. Today I take, tomorrow no. Always talk like that. Finish. Right? True or not? True. And you go and chase this, chase that, chase everything. Blood pressure keeps on going up, pump, 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 pump. All your organs finish. You can't live up to 70 years old. Don't talk about 120. Your life is so short. Take away, minus the time when you are in school. 19 years, make it 20 years. Up to university, 22 years old. That part finished. Only your working life, that's where you want to have all the feces. How many? 20, give you another 70 years, 3, 4 and 10. 50 years? No, cut down again, because 3, 4 and 10, by the time you reach 65, 70 already, another 10 years, you are very weak. Just today, I came down from the lift, and this lady say, I couldn't walk 2 days, a week ago, because my knees are painful today. Very good, I can walk. You see? And she's only 58 years old. Not yet 60. So you cut down, cut 10 to 15 years. You have only 35 years. In your working life, do you start straight away from the top? No. You are like an aeroplane start beginning. You are 3'7", only this height you can go. You are 7'4", you can go higher. 35,000. How long you take to reach there? And then you want to remain there. What I'm trying to say is that to say, life is so short compared with you and I are Christians with eternity. You can live this life as it is. Work as hard, earn as much. But how to make it this life count for God is to do everything in Him for His glory. In other words, work as hard as you can for His glory. Earn as much for His glory. Of course, all must be legitimate. Don't go and play lottery, never mind a lot. You just give me one ticket, enough. Somebody say to win the lottery of 5 million, the jackpot is 5 million, only one ticket. God, give me this one ticket and I will give you 80%. So I take 1 million, you take 4 million. And you make this bargain with God. Can God give you? Can God give you, I say. Can God give you? Can. Can. God can give you. But will God give you or not? So that's illegitimate way. The correct way. Earn as much, work as much, earn as much for the Lord. And then when God has given you a loan, give it to the Lord as much as you can. That's it. Give it. Because you cannot take 1 cent with you. As one missionary, Jim Elliot, said, it is fair exchange. It is no loss to take, to use, to give what you cannot keep in exchange for what you can keep for all eternity. That's Jim Elliot said. He went to Alcas and he gave his life. He was murdered, was killed. But he said these things. Why don't you give the things that you cannot keep in exchange for things that you can keep for all eternity? How wonderful is our God. That is the life we should live. Alright? So God, Jesus Christ says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief, who is the thief? And that is Satan, the devil, and he's got all his agents. He come in order to rob you of all the blessings which I just said. To destroy, to kill and to destroy you. But I come, Jesus Christ says, that you might have life. Abundant life, more abundantly. That means your life will be fulfilling, satisfying, wonderful and great. Jesus Christ says, I'm the way, the truth and the life, the way to God the Father, the way to heaven. Yet that he says the truth, the way, you must have the truth. This is a package, you know, the way, the truth and life is a package. You cannot separate all these three. It must come together. The way must be grounded in truth. And then you get the life, eternal and more abundant life. That's what it says. Alright. Let me close with this. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 to 27. That's the last part. After Jesus Christ gave his, what we call the Sermon on the Mount there. And then he spoke life-giving words. And he ended with this. The Lord Jesus Christ ended with this. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings, heareth knowledge. You read, you have that knowledge, you understand. And doeth them. That's wisdom. I will liken unto him, unto a wise man. You are wise, which built his house upon a rock. Example, like a person, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. He that heareth these sayings of mine, and do them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built the house upon the sand. And then the rain came, the winds came, the floods came, and then the house fell. Foolish. Same thing, you know. So what did Jesus Christ say? You hear his word. You have his word. You are studying. Week by week you hear God's word being preached. Week by week you study at the Bible study. You attend the prayer meeting. And you learn all these things. They are truth. They are not to tickle your mind. But it's for you to understand. Put in your heart and experience it out. God says you will be a wise person. Why wise? Something that you cannot keep. Exchange for something that you can have it for all eternity. That's how you and I should live our life. Those of you who are students, go and study harder. I'm not asking you not to be the best. Be the best if you can. Be the very best. All for who? Not for yourself. Not for daddy. Not for mommy. Not for your girlfriend. But for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that God can use you. And later on God will put you somewhere. And there you'll be a shining witness for him. Winning many people to him. And as you earn a lot, you give to the advancement of his kingdom. That is the kind of life you and I should live. Because that is what God wants us to live. And then you will be happy. It is I give you another 5C. You have the other 5C. Well, you have this 5C. You are challenged, convicted, consecrated, committed, challenged. May God really bless you and be with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. Oh Lord, speak to all of us. May your words remain in our hearts. And may we live it out your words to the praise and glory of your name. Lord, transform and change everyone. May all of us be convicted, be consecrated, be challenged, be committed, and change, Lord, for your glory, for your honor. This we pray, we ask, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.